This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of The Zioli Show. Do us a favor and subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, and tell your friends. Either that or I'll leave to become President Trump's chief of staff. Thanks for listening.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
All right, you Trump MAGA hat wearing rubes, you. That's right. You rubes. R-U-B-E-S. Kind of like rubles, but not like rubles. Yes, a Washington Post reporter named David Weigel just called you and me a bunch of rubes. Washington Post Dave Weigel got in some hot water for calling Trump voters rubes. R-U-B-E-S. They still don't get this whole thing about putting down your intelligence and calling you deplorables, and they just don't get it. I don't know what it is. Every time I'm attacked on Twitter by somebody, I mean, I get attacked all the time. Sometimes it's by listeners who don't like a segment, like True Detective, or other times it's because people just, for whatever reason. But most of the time when it's somebody who attacks me because they disagree with my politics, they inevitably will insult my intelligence. Do you notice that? That probably happens to you too, I would imagine. That's what they do. They go right for the intelligence. And I always say, keep going with it. Do it. Go with it. Just go with it and psh, do it. Well, now you have a Washington Post reporter, Dave Weigel, who's called people rubes. So you're a bunch of rubes. You're a bunch of rubes. This is fun. I think it's very, very fun. It's like deplorable, but different. From Tim Graham at Newsbusters, Joe Simonson of the Daily Caller reported that Washington Post political reporter David Weigel is in some hot water at his paper for going on the far-left podcast Chapo Trap House and ripping on the Trump voters as a bunch of rubes. About 9 minutes in, Weigel was discussing how Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell only cares about confirming Federalist Society clerks to the district courts. McConnell just didn't care about the wall because he knows it's a scam. He's very good at identifying what the rubes want to hear, Weigel said. Because all he cares about is getting enough judges to strike down campaign finance law, to strike down gun laws, strike down health care, etc. What made the story deeply amusing is the official response from a Washington Post spokesman to questions about Weigel's insult. Quote, "We do not think our reporters should be using derogatory terms to characterize anyone, and that the matter is being handled internally," said the spokesman. Does the spokesman read the Washington Post? Because if no derogatory terms are ever permitted, this is the paper that can't ever stop bashing President Trump when covering a presidential funeral. They click to another story on that matter. Weigel lost his post job in 2010 when the liberal journalist Listserv journalist was exposed in 2010 by the Daily Caller, and he joked about Rush Limbaugh reporting to the hospital with chest pains, saying, "I hope he fails," which was a mock on Limbaugh's comment about Obama's presidency regarding socialism. Anyway, the Chapo Trap House podcast is not some smart forum for an objective reporter, but a perfect home for Weigel. In 2016, Robbie Sove at Reason noted that they love to mock conservative tweets, including this tweet about billionaire Peter Thiel suing and running the website and ruining the website Gawker. Here's how they responded. Quote, "I effing hope some George Soros bankrupts the Weekly Standard or National Review. I have to balance the overall principle against the world we actually live in. I would much prefer that there weren't billionaires to begin with, and no one individual had enough money or power to live out every one of their idiotic fantasies or vendettas against social media institutions. But as long as that's the world we live in, I think it would be funny as hell if someone sued the Weekly Standard or Commentary into bankruptcy." It's not uncommon for David Weigel. A few days ago, he was on the Obama-loving Pod Save America podcast, where they joked about people criticizing freshman Representative Rashida Tlaib, saying they should impeach the mother effer. She's the one who said that, you know, impeach the mother effer. Weigel joked about how absurd it was to protest the language, mocking Catholics with the following sarcasm, quote, "What I try to do is I go say a couple of rosaries to purify myself." Ha ha ha. So there you go, you rubes. It's It's a Washington Post objective journalist, Dave Weigel. I say good, keep it up, because it only helps. You're a deplorable rube, and you're a rube who's deplorable. But again, think of the mindset, kids. A woman started to do a Pledge of Allegiance at college. People freaked out. I should play this again. I really do love the response here of these young, intolerant students who love to hear words they don't like to hear, like the pledge.
I'm going to recite it now. Because the flag is hidden.
No, kill her!
Because the flag is hidden. I'm holding up a flag. I would ask anyone who would like to stand with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's all right.
Order.
Come on. It's ridiculous. What a show.
By the way, that's who's giving the State of the Union address response. Right there, that group. Kill her! Tar her! Feather her! Okay.
It really needs no response, does it?
No, I just let it hang out there. Yeah. Kill her!
Triggered.
She's triggered by the pledge.
Yeah.
And then I love the pounding.
I don't know what that is.
That's the best part of that to me, I think.
With liberty and justice.
Shut! Don't you say those words!
That's all right. Ridiculous.
All right. Well, listen, I don't know what to tell you here. This is the tolerance right there. And now, I think personally that the best way to do all of these things is just to simply have women run things, because it's the misogyny that's the problem. On ABC's The View, Joy Behar said, only America, we have to just see our way through the, you know what, that's what it is. Now, that's a woman doing the Pledge of Allegiance in that clip, is it not?
Yes.
And I believe some...
There's no...
What's that?
There's no tolerance for that woman.
No. So, what would you call... All right, so the college president who tells her to shut up, that's not misogyny?
No.
Can someone explain that to me?
No.
I'm confused. A woman stands up in college to give the Pledge of Allegiance, and the guy goes, sit down! But that's not misogyny.
Nope.
All right, now on The View, they have figured out with the candidacy of Senator Kamala Harris of California, cut 14.
I don't think you can ignore the possibility that people in this country will not vote for a woman. Based on experience, we just put in office a reality star who thought Frederick Douglass was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Men in huge numbers voted for him, and I think that they will do it again, the men. Now, the women are another story. I mean, but Shirley Chisholm very famously said that she experienced more discrimination as a woman than she did as a black woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I'm not sure. I mean, every other country, Israel had a woman, Pakistan, India, yeah. New Zealand, England, Germany. Yeah. The list goes on and on. Only we cannot see our way through the misogyny in this country, which is sad because she's really good.
Yeah. So now I have a question. If Trump nominates Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court, how's Joy Behar going to react to that? I'm asking for a friend, because it seems to me like Joy's not going to be particularly happy with that. Every other country has a woman. I don't understand. Transylvania, Romania. All right. Well, there you go. It's the misogyny, kids. But then again, a woman stands up to give the pledge. Shit, I will kill you!
I'm going to recite it now.
We're going to skin you!
Because the flag is hidden. Because the flag is hidden. I'm holding up a flag.
Kill her!
Ask anyone who
guilty!
Would like to stand with me.
Guilty!
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Peter with the gavel!
And to the republic for which it stands. One
Peter
nation,
with the gavel.
Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
I will bang like a six-year-old.
That's all right.
That's all right. Don't worry. We're going to throw her out of this place, this college. We don't tolerate this crap at college. Kids today. Now, this is funny to me because we talked earlier about True Detective, and Netflix is begging people to stop calling serial killer Ted Bundy hot. I'm amazed by this, but I'm not that amazed though, because I think that there's something going. I don't know what it is, but I listen to those people yelling, and I think they would love to date Ted Bundy.
Absolutely.
The latest example of a thirsty meme circling the web is the renewed notion that Ted Bundy, the serial killer who confessed to 30 homicides across 7 states, was smoking hot. And Netflix wishes you would stop saying that. The streamer's Twitter account has posted a statement in response to online reactions to both their own documentary series, Conversations with a Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes, and the new Sundance film starring Zac Efron, Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile. I've seen a lot of talk about Ted Bundy's alleged hotness and would like to gently remind everyone that there are literally thousands of hot men on the service, almost all of whom are not convicted serial members, serial killers, Netflix said.
Oh, my God.
So there you go. Yeah, this is not the first time Netflix has had to warn its viewers from doing or saying dumb things. They most recently had to beg people to stop participating in the Bird Box Challenge, in which people try to perform everyday tasks while blindfolded, like Sandra Bullock's character in the film, then post their results to YouTube, including driving. People would blindfold themselves driving, which I call evolution, by the way. I call thinning the herd. But I hear these people in this clip, and I think, yeah, that's totally rational that people would blindfold themselves and walk around in public, and also go around going, I wish I could date Ted Bundy. So then when Howard Schultz is speaking at Barnes & Noble where he's doing this, and this one guy stands up and yells at him, I think this guy probably blindfolded himself. It's amazing he got there.
I am seriously considering running for president as a centrist independent. And I wanted to clarify the word independent, which I view merely as a designation on the ballot.
And don't help elect Trump, you egotistical billionaire.
Yeah. What that guy said. All right. So that guy, and then the people in the Pledge of Allegiance clip, and then they're the same people right now trying to date Ted Bundy and go around blindfolded. But only a woman. We can see through our misogyny, Dawn, and elect a woman president. It'll all be better. All right? It'll
well,
all be better.
They'll fix everything.
They'll fix everything right there. They'll fix everything. So then on that front now, NBC Nightly News would like to address Tom Brokaw's comments about Hispanics. So why don't we do this? How about Dick Durbin mansplain why he's a misogynist, because he doesn't want Hillary Clinton to run. I don't know if this counts as misogyny or not. Dick Durbin, of course, a Democrat from Illinois, cut 10.
Should Joe Biden run for president?
He has to make that decision with Jill on a personal basis, family basis, and politically. I can tell you he was widely respected. He was called in campaign after campaign in the last cycle. And he's a man with a great deal of experience, which we need in leading our nation. But this is a very personal decision.
Yeah.
I think that's what it'll come
What about
to.
Hillary Clinton? Would that be good?
No, I don't think so. I believe at this moment in time, we need to move beyond the last campaign. I haven't heard any serious suggestion from her side that she is looking at it again. I hope that she doesn't get engaged in another effort.
John Kerry?
Whoa. You just kind of sped over the mansplaining misogyny right there, pal. Well, Dawn.
Well, Rich.
Turns out I am in the book.
You are in Chris Christie's book?
I am, yeah. But he actually says nice things about me.
Oh.
Yeah. I was just having this conversation in the hallway with Evil Jared.
Eagle Scout.
And the question becomes this. Do I ever take legal advice from my program director? And the answer, of course, is no, you don't. But the general crux of it, Dawn, is this. If you're going to talk about things that you of which you've signed a non-disclosure agreement to not talk about, it's best if you just read a passage from a book. So
yes.
We have to have somebody else read the passage from the book. I think we'll do that at some point. Yeah, I'm actually pleasantly surprised. Yes, Greg.
Is it better for your career if he trashes you or if he praises you?
I don't know. It's a great question.
So wait, will he come on the show now? He said nice things.
I don't know. I asked him, hang on. I know this doctor across the river who's got an in with this guy. So I asked him if he can work out something, but we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, they've kind of not done, they've strayed from this radio station for many reasons for a long time. So that's why I wonder if going through a publisher would work or not.
He should come on, though.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know.
All right. Well, that's fun.
Yeah. Especially late next month, because you could ask him about, like, Bill Baroni being sentenced next month.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Bridgegate.
Ouch. Ouch. Ixnay on that. Ouch. Well, what's interesting is that Christie's writing about debate prep is the subject matter in the book. I only read the one page because I'm in the middle of a show. But no, one of our Zioli Army members tweeted me and said that he saw it, Matt Clark. So thank you, Matt, for pointing that out to my attention. I appreciate that. I guess a Google alert didn't come on.
And he said you gave good prep advice.
They gave good prep.
Good.
Who gives good prep?
Zioli.
Let's see here now. Now, you know, the whole thing yesterday with Brian, what's his face? No, not Brian. What's his name? Tom Brokaw. Brian Williams took over for him.
Yes.
Boy, I tell you what.
They've had some bad luck. Matt Lauer. They've had some bad luck over there.
Yeah, who's their HR department over there at NBC News?
It's like the job you don't want.
Yeah.
Now, we have the original cut of Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Which we're going to play again just to remind everybody of what he said, okay?
Also, I hear when I push people a little harder, I don't know whether I want brown grandbabies. I mean, that's also a part of it.
They might go up to the UPS men, deliver
it's
packages.
The intermarriage that is going on and the cultures that are conflicting with each other. I also happen to believe that the Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. That's one of the things I've been saying for a long time. You know,
stop working at places like the Blue Moon Cafe in Bordentown. By the way, has that been proven of Fugazi yet? It has to be, right?
Yeah.
I'm still amazed at how quickly the media all ran to cover that story.
Yeah.
How they all ran to hate on a receipt. That was every headline, every lead, everywhere. Hate on a receipt. So the people come into the little restaurant in Bordentown and they start talking about how nice the place is. They order dessert. And then on the way out, they go, I don't tip immigrants. What they meant to say was, I don't tip brown people.
Also, I hear when I push people a little harder, right. I don't know whether I want brown grandbabies.
Well, they might be delivering Amazon Prime packages, 2-day guarantee. I don't want that for them. So NBC Nightly News has called Brokaw's comments inaccurate and inappropriate. Cut six.
It's...
Brokaw's comments triggered widespread criticism, including from George P. Bush, Jeb Bush's son, who posted, "With all due respect, Tom Brokaw, I am one of those little brown ones." Brokaw took to Twitter himself hours after the appearance, issuing first an explanation and then an apology. "I am sorry, truly sorry, my comments were offensive to many. The great enduring American tradition of diversity is to be celebrated and cherished. Yamiche, thank you for your comments. Let's go forward together."
Lester, tonight at NBC News, spokesman tells me, quote, "Tom's comments were inaccurate and inappropriate, and we're glad he apologized."
All right, Stephanie.
"And we're glad he's retired in Florida, in the home."
All right, Stephanie, thank God I'm still here, because honestly, you never know. Wow.
Poor Tom.
Brown babies. Little brown kids. Who will be, you might miss them on a beach. They might blend in with the sand. You won't even see them anymore.
That's true.
I go out to dinner, don't I? Write hate on receipts. I write, I don't tip brown people because you don't assimilate very well. Yes. NBC Nightly. Then they give it to Brian Williams, who then makes up stuff. Brian Williams was there when everybody was brown. By the way, like literally, he was there that when everybody lived in one place on earth. And then Brian Williams, who's now the 11 p.m. guy on MSNBC, he lies about the name of the show. He calls it the 23rd hour. Right?
No, it's the 11th hour.
Oh, that's right. It's the 11th hour, but it's not the 11th hour. It's the
23rd hour.
23rd hour of the day.
Because it's 11 p.m., which is the 23rd hour in military time.
But he calls it the 11th hour because he thinks we're all idiots.
The 11th hour would be 11 a.m.
Brown people, they don't want brown grandbaby. Brown. Can I see my little brown grandbabies? Barbara Bush wouldn't go near that kid. I don't know what he's talking about. All right, well, there you go. 855-839-1210. And Kamala Harris had a town hall meeting. She talked about Medicare for all. All right, this is her thought. This is where the future's going here, kids. Cut 12.
I believe the solution, and I'm actually feel very strongly about this, is that we need to have Medicare for all.
I have a question. Hang on a second. Dawn, what do you think of her voice, by the way?
Yeah, her voice. I mean, she's to look at her on TV, mm-hmm. you don't notice the voice is as annoying. Because she's a very attractive woman.
I think the voice is more attractive than she looks.
No, I think she's very attractive. I think the voice is all these women. Remember Hillary? That was my thing. These people need voice coaches.
Yeah.
Their voices are annoying.
Does anybody think that her voice is sexy? Like you'd want to hear her narrate a book or something like that?
I believe the solution, and I'm actually feel very strongly about this, is that we need to have Medicare for all.
But then I look at her and I think of every teacher I ran out of her classroom. I don't think she's attractive one bit.
Yeah, well, one time Greg played.
If this was a man, you wouldn't be talking this way. Not true. I've talked about how handsome Gavin Newsom is many times, by the way, and how I liked him better when he was a drunk in California. That's the truth.
Kimberly Guilfoyle says the same thing.
That's right. She liked him better when he was a drunk, too. All right, go ahead.
I believe the solution, and I'm actually feel very strongly about this, is that we need to have Medicare for all. Mm-hmm. That's just the bottom line.
Woo! I don't know how we're going to pay for it. Who cares? Just woo!
And I'll say this, and this is, I think, why you're also asking this question. What we know is that to live in a civil society, to be true to the ideals and the spirit of who we say we are as a country, we have to appreciate and understand that access to health care it should not be thought of as a privilege. It should be understood to be a right. It should be understood to be something that all people should be entitled to so that they can live a productive life, so they can have dignity. And having a system that makes a difference in terms of who receives what based on your income is unconscionable. It is cruel. And in many situations that I have witnessed, inhumane.
That's all I hear when she talks. I hear hammers in my head. Honestly, I could not listen to. Shows just flew by today.
Sure
some
did.
Days are like that, right?
Yeah.
This flies by. Oh, boy. The big story of the day today, I guess, would be, well, The Five is talking about how they would react if trapped in an elevator for days. We did that hours ago.
Yes.
Hours ago, Dawn.
I think they just copy.
I think so, too.
Show. They monitor you.
Brendan Gill, who is the former campaign manager for Governor Phil Murphy, he also wants to make one thing clear. I did not hire Al Alvarez. No one knows who hired this guy in Jersey. Just to bring you up to speed, in New Jersey, there's a major, major, major political scandal going on with the governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, who has national political ambitions, and he's a Democrat, so it's not going beyond the borders of New Jersey, but a woman named Katie Brennan says she was raped by a guy named Al Alvarez. There's a bipartisan Senate commission investigating this. The big question is, who hired Al Alvarez? And nobody seems to know.
Nobody seems to know.
It's amazing. It's the biggest mystery. It's amazing how this guy wound up working for the state of New Jersey in a high-level position, being paid $170,000 a year, and nobody knows who hired him. It's remarkable.
It is. And these lawmakers, they've had these hearings, more than 30 hours of testimony with high-level inner circle Murphy administration officials, and nobody knows who hired him.
So I think what's going to happen, Dawn, one day is that they're going to discover Jimmy Hoffa's body and Al Alvarez's hiring papers, like on top of the body. That's amazing. I can't. Nobody knows who hired this freaking guy.
Yeah,
it's Jersey. Nobody knows nothing. Nobody's talking. Nobody knows nothing. I worked in the governor's office years ago, and I'm telling you, it's a process. Got to do a state police background check. There's all this other stuff. You don't just get jobs like this. Some people know. You don't just walk in and go, I work here now. What is he, Kramer? I work here now. I'm working now.
And got a raise.
Yeah, and got a raise, too.
140 up to 170K.
Brandon Gill, who was the and I know him, he's a nice guy, but he's a freeholder and up in Essex County, ran Murphy's campaign, a Democrat. He says, I don't know who hired him. I was not involved in the transition or hiring practices of the administration. Senator Loretta Weinberg of Bergen says, this is so silly. All the governor has to do is tell us. Tell who hired this guy. But Phil Murphy claims he doesn't know either. He doesn't know. Phil Murphy knows every guy driving a plow truck tonight, going around salting the roads, because he's all concerned about that. And but nobody knows who hired this guy Alvarez. It's amazing.
It's very strange.
It's Jersey for you. It's just so, oh, man. It's just so Jersey. Truly is. All right. Well, there you go. At some point, we'll figure this out, I guess.
The next hearing, which I'll be at, is next Monday.
Next Monday.
Next Monday morning it starts.
How much you want to bet the guy who hired Alvarez winds up dead? I shouldn't chuckle at that, but it's just that he'll wind up dead in the Meadowlands.
Yep.
Right? That's where the body will be found. Oh, look. Oh, he's the one who hired him? Oh, it's a shame. He had a fishing accident. Maybe the Pine Barrens, Dawn.
The
bodies
Jersey
go
Devil.
Missing down there. I know they do. It's terrible.
Somewhere in the swamps of Jersey, like Farmer Springsteen says.
Old McSpringsteen and the EIO band. He sang about the swamps of Jersey.
He did.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dawn. This mystery is very, very deep.
It is, but I'm convinced that Senator Loretta Weinberg will, and this bipartisan commission will get to the bottom of it. They're not stopping. The question is, and I ask all of them this all the time, will you call the governor? Because there are many simple questions like this that have gone unanswered after dozens and dozens of hours of testimony under oath.
And what do they say?
People, it's always like, well, I told Matt, I told Raj, you know, and then they call Raj, then they call Pete Camerano. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just back and forth. Oh, well, I thought so-and-so knew. I don't know.
Hey, Jimmy, did you work? Yeah. Did you hire? I don't. I think Johnny hired him. Johnny, did you hire him? No, not me. You? I don't call somebody. Hey, anybody know who hired this do not, eh? Nobody knows nothing. Nobody knows nothing, Dawn.
It's very strange.
And then they call Phil Murphy, and this is what he would say. Oh, heck, I got a subpoena. Oh, gosh, darn it. Oh, heck, heckity heck. Heck, heck, gosh, golly gee, heck. Heck, darn, gosh, garly, gook. That's a reminder from Phil Murphy to please stay off the roads.
Yeah.
Gosh darn it, New Jersey, it may snow sometime. Don't go out. Don't go anywhere.
We don't know when, but
yeah, right.
Someday said, it might snow.
He said it's a polar vortex.
The vortex is coming, New Jersey. Don't go anywhere. Stay. Don't go out. Don't leave any. Don't stay where you are.
For 3 months.
God, amazing. Yes, wrong and right says you should sue to have him return his pay since he was never hired. Great point. He was stealing from the state of New Jersey this whole time.
He just showed up in the, this is my job now.
Billy, you hired him, right? No, not me. Tommy, I thought you hired him. Nah, I don't do the hiring around here. Who does? Nobody knows. Unbelievable. That's the state of New Jersey. The state of New Jersey.
Yes.
It's not even the freaking port. Like, I could understand if it was the docks, for God's sake. This is the state.
There's more ethics at the docks, by the way.
You're right. They at least have papers
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
They have paperwork. All right, Greg, let's do it.
Who won Twitter?
I'm going to give it to Sid, our buddy Sid Weiss, as regarding you being mentioned in the Christie book. He says he just wants you to help facilitate a meeting with Jared. And he says, P.S., put in a word for me, will you?
Very good.
Good one.
Very funny. Very
never
funny.
Happened.
I just flipped over. There's a chapter titled Jared's Meltdown.
Oh, boy.
So I'm not so sure a meeting's going to do it, but
man.
We'll see. All right. Flemington Furs sponsors Who Won Twitter. Thank you, Flemington Furs, because Flemington Furs is what fabulous feels like.
Rizzioli 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.